We made it sleep for about 8 hours. Oh, hey.
We're ready to start.
All right.
Yeah.
Well, we know we have a lot of dedicated people here. It's 6:30. We're happy to have everybody here, and we know everybody here loves the web.
And they love the web more than standing in line for the Avengers. Or they want a chair to sit down while they wait.
That's right. So
one of the two.
I'm Kevin Hill. I'm lead program manager for the web app and frameworks team at Microsoft.
I'm Chris Anderson. I'm a dev. I worked on the WinJS framework, and I work on a variety of other things nowadays, too.
Right.
So I love this stuff.
So, there we go. You guys, it looks like you get prizes if you scan these codes, which is really cool. Don't worry, this is on the last slide. I'm not going to let you all scan it now because you'll probably leave. There we go. What we're going to talk about today is really best described as kind of a journey of frameworks in Microsoft. And how many people have used WinJS to build apps? All right, that's a good number. And how many of you guys remember we open sourced WinJS last year at the last build? A few fewer hands. But what I'm going to do is I'm going to start just with a little bit of information about web apps at Microsoft and just kind of give a quick history. And then we're actually going to quickly move into demos. Because the last thing I think you guys really want to see at a dev conference is slide, although Twitter does tell me different during keynotes. And so we're gonna talk about a responsive app we made. It's called CharMap. I'll tell you what CharMap is. If you don't know, don't worry. And then we're actually going to take this app and then rebuild it in another framework, in Knockout. Knockout JS developers, got a few of those.
Woo!
Oh, and a clap, all right.
Knock you out.
Yes. Then what we're going to do is something crazy. We're going to go rebuild the app in Angular and add another feature. And then
the pointy hat guys, right? Angular.
Yeah. And then we're going to go and rebuild the app again in React.js and add another feature.
Oh, React.
And to top off the evening, we're going to show you our Bootstrap theme that is also open sourced, and it's great for websites. Is that the journey we're going on today?
I love that journey. I'm excited to go on that journey with you. Will you join me? Will you all join us?
All right. So I just wanted to talk a little bit about web apps at Microsoft. If you look at this timeline, I graduated high school around the time ActiveX came to be, right? So it's been a little while, but you go way back then and we were already trying to find ways to extend the web, and ActiveX was out there. We thought ActiveX was great, so we said, hey, why don't we make HTML applications?
Yeah.
Who remembers HTAs, HTML applications? A few hands, who's made one? Yeah, they were my go-to in college.
Who's still having to support one that you accidentally deployed to your enterprise? Okay, good.
Okay, good. All right. And then, you know, HTAs, actually, there was even another step. We made web components. I mean, it was HTCs, which was, you know, kind of a web component implementation of HTAs. And then we started getting into the browsers. I left a few browser numbers out because we made a lot of them. But you'll see we had IE7, IE8. We had Office web apps that showed up. IE9 and Chakra, and then we talked about universal APIs and JavaScript, and hosted web apps at this conference. Did you guys see the keynote demos? Flight Arcade, 22 tracks, great. There was actually a session done earlier today on hosted web apps, so if you didn't get to go to it, you can check it out online later. And you kind of saw there's a bit of a gap in that timeline. You know, we've done a lot on the web at Microsoft. Those dots obviously don't represent everything we've done for web at Microsoft, but it's kind of the app-centric investments we were making. I went and I did a search on some frameworks to kind of give people an idea of timeline of when some of these JavaScript frameworks are coming to be. Scriptaculous.
Scriptalicious. Scriptalicious.
Scriptalicious.
That thing was so hot.
Yeah. I actually didn't use it, but, you know, that came in 2006. Anybody use Scriptalicious? One hand.
Oh, there you go.
All right. MooTools. A couple more hands.
Yeah.
How about Knockout? We already asked that, so it's good. And then, Angular was released actually quite recently, but it was actually released a little bit before I thought it was. And then, who's heard of React? Right. There's like over 20,000 stars on the GitHub React, I think.
Wow, that thing
is pretty popular.
It is awesome.
But, I mean, you can see, like, this data is showing, like, how many people are kind of interested in using it. You know, it's quite interesting because there's so many JavaScript frameworks, I couldn't even put them all on a slide. I couldn't even come close to finding all the dates I tried. Um, But the interesting one is actually if you look at how these compare to jQuery. jQuery is kind of a go-to library and framework on the web, and it smooshes down all these other libraries. Like they're really representing kind of a small portion. However, they're important. There's a lot of people that will start building their applications with these frameworks. So we've been trying to pay attention to the ones that are getting traction, and we've been making investments to have our HTML controls work well with these other frameworks. Right. There's a really important emerging framework. This is kind of a fun slide. who's heard of ElevatorJS? It's got 3,000 stars on GitHub. Oh, did my animation?
Oh, I clicked.
I clicked it. Okay.
I was too early. I'm sorry.
ElevatorJS is a very important framework, and partly because they have a Dalek, elevate, in their comments. Like that's a JavaScript framework, and all it does is scroll your page up to the top. That's more of a joke, but it's just making a point. Like there's so many JavaScript frameworks out there, you'll never be able to keep up with them all. Thanks, Chris. All right. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to talk a little bit about the investments we've made in our web application platform. Everyone hear about Microsoft Edge? New browser? Right. So Microsoft Edge looks a little bit like this to us. There's this Edge HTML.dll, and there's this Chakra JavaScript engine. And those are the two main components of the web platform, is what we call it. And it's a team I actually work on. We focus a lot on the Edge HTML.dll. This is the exact same engine that's available to you as a web developer on Microsoft's platform. You get the same Edge HTML DLL and the same Chakra JavaScript engine inside your app. Of course, we love packaged content. Ever since Windows 8.1, you've been able to make packaged JavaScript apps on Windows. And you can include content to have a great offline experience. We talked a little bit about this conference, and I had mentioned up front hosted content, hosted web applications. We've made a lot of investments there. What we're really trying to do is make it easy for you to leverage both of these technologies together, mix and match, all hosted, some hosted, none hosted. You know, we've been doing a lot of listening to developers, because even though we've made some of these investments, I'd say some of the investments were probably spot on, and some of the investments we might have not, you know, done in the right way, or they might have been not been as used as they could have been. We really hear from developers, they just want their existing code to work, right? More frameworks to work. In the Windows 8 and 8.1 timeframe, we actually didn't do the best job of that. We kind of had, you know, this, we focused a bit too much on the Windows way of doing things. We weren't focused on interop heavily back in 8 and 8.1, but that's been the huge focus we've had for the Microsoft Edge engine. The security model we had, actually, who ever hit a warning in our JavaScript security model that said, like, you can't change inner HTML, or you can't add that attribute? That was actually when I first went to come and write a JavaScript app on Windows, it was before I was on the team during Windows 8. That was the first thing I hit, and I was like, what's this? Why do I have to run this function called MS app exec unsafe local function to go and do something that felt like it was natural on the web? So, you know, we heard a lot of developers say, like, this doesn't seem to work well, and it was actually not working well for frameworks. Angular just didn't work out of the box. You actually had to go and wrap some things in Angular to actually make it work. And we weren't really playing well with the web development workflow back then, right? So we made quite a few changes to help there. And our big focus on Edge is really the web works. If you've been writing markup, we fixed over 7,000 interop issues from IE11 to Microsoft Edge, right? And so the code you've already written that might have been even WebKit focused is likely to work now. Obviously, you're getting the new rendering engine I talked about. There's a ton of updates to Chakra. If you haven't seen any of the Chakra talks, you know, watch them online, please. They've gone over, I don't even know how many advancements they make. I'm having a hard time keeping up.
That's pretty incredible. The ASM.js support.
Right.
Awesome.
This is just a visual graph to kind of show you all of the different controls and features we have in WinJS overall. And then this is kind of showing you where we focused on changes. So if you're familiar, that just kind of gives you a frame of reference. I actually kind of want to get to the demos, and I'm taking a little longer than I should. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to introduce the responsive app that we've made. It's out on GitHub. You can go download this code now if you want and hack on it. That's fine. Send some pull requests. Charm app. So I'm horrible with all those fancy symbols you can put in the Facebook statuses.
I've seen your status. Right. They're lame.
So Chris said, hey, I got an idea. Why don't we help you? Let's make a Charm app to give you some of these cool icons.
Well,
right?
We have a modern version of Cal. Can we have a modern version of all these other things? And we thought Charm app wasn't getting the love it needed.
Right. So we spent some time to make a responsive app. You can see it's a very simple data source, data model. I just put the data up there so you guys had a frame of reference as Chris is going through the demos to kind of show you how we've done a lot of work to make our controls work with these other frameworks and do some data bindings. So, Chris, what I'm going to do is I'm going to hand it over to you.
Awesome. Enough of that silly thing. Excellent. So we'll start by, let's just bring up the app that we're talking about here. So this is our Charm app site. It's live on charmapp.azurewebsites.net or com or whatever it is, .net. But we'll just go and look at this really quickly. This is the basic version of the app. There's a list at the top that you can scroll through to see what symbol you want to pick from. You can click on this, and you get a little dialogue showing the details of it. And that's kind of the app. If you hit the home button, you go back to the list of the other versions of the app for the framework. But you can already see several things in here showing off some of the new controls that we've added for WinJS in the last year. One of which is this new split view, which allows you to have the pop-out here. And you'll notice that as I size the window, it'll change its behavior. So actually not in this site.
You want to go to the code pen to show
Sorry, yes, we'll go to the right place. We have a code pen here, which allows me to see this thing. So if I go smaller, you see that the bar hides and now it overlaps the content. If I go wide, it's adaptive, and now it's going to pin itself out and not obscure the content. And so these are kind of those adaptive controls that you see that we talked about a lot at the keynote throughout the entire event. And we've added these both to the JavaScript side as well as the XAML side. If we look at this, this is kind of it's fairly straightforward HTML. We have a div at the top. And we go through and we have a split view with the WinJS UI split view. We basically have a pane area, which is that area to the left. And then we have the rest of the content becomes your content area. One of the things that we invest a lot in is kind of trying to get the details right of the controls. And so you'll notice that here we have a second button, which is a split view, because it turns out that the control that's right here in the gray version is different than the control that's right here, because we had to there's a different panel that slides out. And so we have to do the work to deal with focus management, to deal with the styling. And so provided you set up the DOM the right way, then you can have some very simple CSS rules to control the width and height of those, what you want it to look like when it slides out, et cetera. And then the JavaScript to handle this is simply a matter of setting these two properties of shown display mode and hidden display mode. One of the things that you'll see is that we've really tried to adopt some of the feedback we've gotten from the web community about they want to control more of the feel and look and when these things happen, how the transitions occur. We were a little opinionated with some of our initial designs of WinJS, where we kind of forced some of the Windows 8 metaphors. And so what we've tried to do here is make it a little more flexible and able to handle more variety of scenarios. But what we do see is, for things like the content dialog, we've gone and spent the time to try to make sure that this handles a wide variety of screen resolutions. So as you shrink, you'll notice that at some point it gets small enough, it snaps to the top of the screen. And in fact, if you get it even smaller, it decides that it wants to be full screen. And then as you get even smaller, or I can't quite make it small enough an edge, it'll go full screen within the content. And so all of that happens for free with the content dialog control. I can't click anywhere else in the UI. And so we get kind of this nice feel, but you can control the content and the display style of that. So content dialog is another one of the new controls in WinJS.
Perfect.
And so I think what we want to do is, moving on from kind of, back to slides.
Back to the slide, all right. Thank you, you got the good button.
Yeah.
So like I said, this is really a journey of some of the frameworks. So Chris really went over the WinJS, kind of a couple of the new controls we've added. There's a few more out there if you want to go check them out. But what we're going to do, and this is a really evil trick I played on Chris, is I made him kind of go and code in three different frameworks in the same demo. It's actually kind of hard. we have this released on GitHub. It's out there today. We just put it up last night. So if you want to go download the Knockout WinJS adapter, you can do that. It's still a work in progress, but it's out there, and please play with it, and then let us know if you have any feedback. So I'm going to let Chris go and add a feature to, oh, I shouldn't have switched slides yet. We'll do that later. Let's go back to your demo.
All right. So one of the things that we heard a lot of feedback from the community was that while we spent a lot of time on WinJS, what people really want is to be able to use the frameworks they know and love, but get some of the rich controls that we spent this time on building. And so we've invested in rebuilding these adapters, these bridges from all the different UI frameworks. So here you see the same app, the same functionality of it, all written. This time, we've replaced a lot of the wire up and a lot of the creation with Knockout. So if we go look at the code for this, we'll go look at the default HTML here. And if we look at the code, what we see is we're using data bind from Knockout, and we're using a template which uses the data bind syntax from Knockout as well. So we've replaced both the creation of the list view as well as all of the templating going on with the native Knockout constructs. So if we look at the HTML or the code behind for this, we see that we're creating a view model which has a list view array, which is a Knockout observable. We go down, and as we move the slider, we see apply bindings happening here. And then what we do is, as we move the slider, we simply call this update, which we go in and go to the view model and whack on the properties of the view model, and the UI updates. And so we can see that you get all of the flexibility and the polish and the scrolling of the list view with the virtualization and all those other pieces, but we're able to simply integrate with Knockout.
Right. Great, Chris. So I think that's showing how Knockout's integrating with the control, but you should go ahead and add a feature live. You should
Let's add
the
favorite
feature live.
Okay. So the thing we want to do is there's so many great symbols out there in CharMap, and CharMap's such a powerful and important part of my life. I want to be able to keep track of the list of favorite symbols that I have, because Unicode's large.
It's huge.
So what we'll do is I'll add a new property to my view model, create another observable array. So we have our new data model, so that's good to go. And then what we need to do is update our dialog to have a second button so we can actually favorite it and push it into the data model.
Right. So Chris is going to go back to the HTML and add in some of the other layout features. Like you were saying, we need to have a new button.
Okay, so we got our UI.
We got our favorite and our close.
And if we go back to our thing, we should see, we see our favorite has shown up.
And you've hooked that all the way up, so.
So now we got to go and do something with the favorite. So let's go see, let's go do that. So the first thing we need to do is add a click handler. So we'll do, we'll think about what we're trying to type.
Yeah, I told you it's a very evil trick to Chris because he's thinking about three frameworks at a time right now. So
the first thing we have to do is we're going to go and add a handler. So once you click the favorite button, the way the dialog returns that is you call show, and there's a value that comes back on it. So we'll say then, and we say function, we get back an event. And so inside of here, we can go in and see what the value is. So what we'll do is I cheated. Wait, this is the wrong cheat. Oh, demo failure. this one's pretty straightforward. We're going to say if the event.result is equal to primary, what we're just going to do is we're going to go to that view model and add something to the favorites list, which is our data item. So we just say, hey, if you click that primary button, push to the data model, which is great. And if we go back, we see that it actually is happening. So I love space and I love 9. But we have no way of seeing the favorites.
Right. We need to go and add the to the split view. We need to go add the control that's now going to show the favorites that Chris is tracking within the data model.
Great.
So he's going to add the button and bind it.
And so we'll do favorite clicked. We'll say that the item is favorite.
And he's just using some of the standard things that are available in the control. So we get the favorite icon. So you have a nice star when he saves this.
Love it.
Pops up live.
It doesn't do anything. So we need to go add our handler. It's all good.
And you know, Chris is using Gulp, and so when he saves his files, they're all being watched, and his code's getting updated live.
So I cheated here a little bit. I'm just going to the view model array, and I'm just taking the favorites and whacking it into the list view
sure.
model. So now if we favorite a couple things, we'll add that. We'll go here and we say that I really like some of these smiley faces.
And there you see the favorites stars. Working just fine in the Knockout app.
And we see that we're getting some of the transitions. for the elements. They're fading in. They're looking good.
Right, and that's all part of the things you get with the control, and you'll see that as we go through the other demos. Which one do we switch at? PPT?
Yep.
Right. All right, and then this is just showing like some of the very small code that you would write in Knockout and some of the bindings that Chris was showing in his coding demo. But that's there if you want to take a picture of it or look at it online later. That's fine. What we're going to do now is we're going to go and use AngularJS to add another feature, and you can see that this is also on GitHub, and it's released and it's live for you to download and play with now. The feature we're going to add here is a ratings control, because you don't want to just favorite things, you want to also be able to rate things, right? Let's go back to the, there you go.
So the Angular bindings are the most mature of these bridges that we have. Knockout's probably the least mature. React's kind of in the middle. And so the Angular one, we have a much richer one. You may have noticed in the Knockout example, we had a couple places we were still using the WinJS binding style and wire up. Here in the Angular one, if we open up the markup for it, we can see that every declaration is able to be done using Angular directives. We've really gone through and done deep integration to make sure that every one of our controls can show up and that it feels exactly like a native Angular set of controls. And so here we can see that split view that we saw earlier using the WinJS syntax. Instead, here we can see that we have a split view pane. We can see the navbar commands that are wired up through ng-click. We can really see kind of, it looks very natural if you're right. Familiar with Angular. So what we want to do is we want to go and, and if we look at the JavaScript, we can see that we're setting up a module, we're setting up a scope, and we're doing very little changes. In fact, you'll notice that here in the view state change, we're simply wiring up the scope data to be a new value. And when we go to our Angular version, as we scroll through this, we see that it updates and changes, and so we're able to obviously leverage all of the Angular binding, and et cetera.
Right. It really is the same app, but redone in Angular. There's no Knockout in this, and it's not using any of the normal WinJS syntax. So.
So let's go and add the ratings control that we want to add.
That's right.
So the first thing we'll do is we'll add it to our template. So we see here our template. And in fact, if we just go and let's go put this guy here. Let's go put this guy here. Great. So what we want to do is add our ratings. So we'll say win-ratings. If we save, we see the ratings show up. We want to set a min value, or max value, I should say. Max value of 5, and the user value, user rating. Is going to be data bound, which I just spaced my data binding syntax. You broke me. There we go. Thank you. Is going to be equal to item.data.rating. And that's pretty cool because you can just go against a JavaScript object, we can add a rating property to these controls without making any other changes. So if we save, we can see now I can star these. They persist a value. If I slide between two sections, I come back. And since the data is still in memory, that should have updated, but it didn't. So we'll just ignore that and pretend that it saved that data, although later I'm feeling that's going to bite me and not work somehow.
Right.
All right. Let's keep going. We'll pretend that worked. We'll just walk it off. Great. So we have our ratings. We're able to update our UI. And now the next thing we want to do is add to our scope change the ability to display this. Now you see I've already cheated here a little bit, which is I have the favorites button, and I'm setting a mode property on my view state so that I can change which data I want to display in the UI. I'm just going to reuse the same markup in the list. But what I want to do is just swap this out. So this time what we'll do is we'll say here, we'll say ng-change. And so now I have my new thing, which basically, if the view mode is list, I do what we did before, which is just to set the data equal to that character block array that we saw. And otherwise, we just go through and we grab all the blocks, and we grab anybody who has a rating. We do, you know, all the items, the chars, and if the rating exists, we filter it and show it in the value. So that should give me the list of the favorites that I know and love. So I'll go here. We'll star a couple things. We'll see if I have a build error in the background.
Oh, maybe.
We don't have a build error in the background. We'll try refreshing our browser, see if that makes everything happier. Hey, there we go.
I think it was just not watching the file correctly, but yeah.
And one of the things that you'll see here is that as I star these, because we're adjusting the data model and the data is the same, you'll notice that the items that were still on that list actually animated into their new position. So even though we're using Angular, we still get all the animations that are built into the control.
That's right.
Awesome.
All right, so Chris was just showing you Angular, and again, I've kind of summarized some of the JavaScript that Chris was writing to add this to his Angular scope, and then also some of the syntax that we're using live. And as Chris had mentioned, under the hood, if we go take a look at wrapping in the directives, you can just see that we're wrapping the WinJS controls in the directive and exposing them, so you get the nice Angular syntax. So if you've written in Angular before, you're gonna really like using these. But
yeah, in fact, the approach we took on the Angular one has been pretty interesting, because the way Angular works under the covers actually worked pretty well with the way that WinJS worked out of the box. The constructors that we used were very easy to expose through the directives. And so the project actually is basically a list of declarative statements that are the set of properties that we want to export into the Angular directive system. It was pretty straightforward to get plugged in.
Right. All right, you ready for one more framework, one more feature?
A deep cleansing breath. Is everybody following along so far?
I think Chris is doing a great job. I want to give him a hand, because he's being a real trooper here.
No, we're.
So finally, we've just released the React WinJS as well, and you can go get that on GitHub, just like any of the other frameworks that we've been showing tonight. And so Chris is going to go and add our search feature in React.
So React, I noticed that when we asked, not everybody in the audience has seen React before. So let me give you a quick overview of kind of the way React works. So the first thing we can do is, if we look at the React markup, the HTML, we will notice that React takes a significantly different stance on markup than what we saw in Angular. Whereas Angular really leaned into the HTML and did a ton of new tags and really optimized around having that markup-first experience, this very declarative experience in the HTML, every Angular app that I have seen looks exactly like this. They could all have exactly the same index.html. I don't know if that's a caching technique they're trying to do, but it certainly makes it easier.
It's really, really light on the HTML, and you end up writing a lot of JavaScript.
And the big, the React guys kind of talk about this new language feature they did of JSX, and they say, well, we've been doing this forever with PHP. We've had this extension to PHP to do HTML literals forever. And so they're very surprised when people get excited about JSX. But what they've done is they've created this ability to use angle bracket syntax inside of your JavaScript. And so when you see React markup, what you get is a lot of this kind of mix and match of JavaScript. And so here at the bottom is the beginning statement, which is react.render angle bracket app. And when you see an angle bracket in JSX, what that really means is call with the constructor new function something called app. And so that's exactly equivalent. The code is identical to saying new app paren. And so the angle brackets are only there to allow you to reasonably nest and reasonably use attribute syntax and have child components. And so you get kind of this interesting mix and match of the declarative code. The other thing that you need to understand about React is that React is a functional programming model, which is to say immutable data structures, one-way data transformation, and state changes that happen in a separate protocol. What that means, pragmatically, is that you'll notice at the top of the screen we have this function called render. Anytime anything changes in your React app, they re-render 100% of the content from your app's perspective. You create an entirely new view of the world, and they use a technique that actually diffs the objects that you created on this frame and the objects you created on next frame to figure out what the deltas are. And then they use an approach with the virtual DOM that allows them to do incremental changes to the HTML DOM to avoid a lot of excess overhead of manipulating the DOM. The effect that you get out of this is that with that straightforward markup, you get the UI that you kind of expect to see. And as you make changes, it dynamically updates the DOM with the minimal updates. So to kind of show how that works and how that plugs into the how WinJS can participate and how you can use these controls, what we wanted to show was adding a new feature to this React app, which kind of shows off the power of React and how you can leverage the controls. So we're going to do a search feature, which is there's a lot of controls, a lot of tags in, characters. And what we want to do is add an ability to type in and search for one of those characters. So we'll start by adding a search button. So go here and say that we want to have a search clicked. And for some reason, the icon is called find. So if we save, we'll see we now have a little nice little find thing that doesn't do anything. Great. And so now we want to add a little bit of a state change. That's what we'll do.
And what did you cover the JSX that, like, that one of the differences when you're writing React code the way Chris is writing is using an actual JSX file. This actually needs to be translated into JavaScript. So it's a very nice syntax that he gets to code in and kind of just drop his HTML in there. And every time he saves, the file watcher is going to go and run one of our gulp tasks that does the action of transforming the JSX into JavaScript that's actually run in the web page. They also have another library you can use that will transform it at runtime versus build time, which is fun to use. So it's a JSX transformer that you can include. But this syntax is kind of an easy thing to get used to, because you can see, obviously, if this is straight JavaScript, it would just break, you know, leaving HTML in the middle of it without being in a string doesn't seem like a good idea. But you'll see that code editors are starting to support this format, so it makes it really easy to code and add functionality and feature in JSX files. And I mean, even though you're in a JS file, you're still writing HTML.
Yeah.
Your main HTML page is pretty clean, but you end up making up for it by putting it in here.
What you can see is, what I've done is I had a state property, similar to the Angular example where I cheated and had this mode for what I wanted to see on the view. What I've done is the same thing here. I have a state mode for search and list. I'm going to call either render search or render default. And what you see is the WinJS split view, which has a pane component of one side of this and a content component of the other. And so I've toggled and I'm saying, when I'm in search mode, the content is going to be something different now. It's going to be this search pane experience. And because of the way they diff it, they'll won't end up recreating all the controls, but they will recreate the UI. And so what we'll do here is we'll do a render search method. And what this is going to go through and we're going to go grab all the blocks, all the characters that are available, all the things that we can find in the universe. We're going to go and create for each one of them that matches a character. So we're going to walk all of the blocks, match against the characters, find all the ones that have at least one match. And now we have this thing which is only the items that match. We do a JavaScript map function, which actually can take as an array, and then it just applies a function to every element in the array to create a new item. And in this case, what we're going to create is a new hub section for each block. And then within that, we will have a div, and we'll say, now go against every character and do another map function and return a div with the item that has the name that we want to display. And we get to use the awesomely named. If you thought exec unsafe inner function was awesome, the React guys one-upped us with dangerously set inner HTML, which just, I love it. I am.
Well, we got to make sure people know that the content could
I am
be
living
dangerous.
Dangerously right now. It is fabulous.
He's doing a lot of dangerous things.
And so we've got this up and running, and then we create a div where we see here, we're actually constructing the input text box. And so like the weird thing, the thing that kind of just blows your mind and is hard to wrap your head around is in this model, every time you type a character, we're re-rendering all of this display. We're re-rendering the text box. We're re-rendering the list box. We're re-rendering the split view. But all of that gets ignored because it happens to be the same as they saw last time. And so when we go and look at this, we click our search, and we see we get all of our list of items down here. And if I start typing, we see that they're demand deleting the items that are no longer in there because they diff what we had before and what we have now and notice that some things are gone. And again, even though now we're doing yet another completely different approach to the UI, we still are getting the animations, the styling, the behavior of all of these controls. And this is using one of our new controls that came to us when we did the phone features,
right.
Which is the hub control. Great. Oops. That's it. Awesome. Fabulous. Let's go back to slides.
Right, slides. So where are we on our journey? We've gone through adding three different features and three different frameworks. I was just going to leave that slide up. I know some people were taking pictures of it before in case you want to get the URL. But then we'll go ahead and just take a quick peek. You know, Chris was really doing a good job of explaining the code, so I'm probably not going to spend a whole bunch of time on this slide. One of the things that you've been seeing all evening, actually, is the website that Chris has been clicking through to go to each one of these apps is actually styled with a Bootstrap theme. Well, we've released a Bootstrap theme that mirrors the look and feel of Microsoft websites, and that's also up on our GitHub account. And so what we're gonna do is just show you that theme now, and then if you wanna go check it out and have a similar app to a website look and feel down at the...
Yeah, so in this case, we just have the very simple landing homepage, and we've added a little drop-down here that lets us toggle between two different Bootstrap themes.
Right.
And so here you see now we get the kind of the Windows style, we get the Sago font, which we also have, there's an open source version of that font that's actually available on the GitHub account, but we can obviously toggle between those two using Bootstrap as it exists today. And so what we're trying to do is refactor WinJS out and find the nuggets of value that are there, like the theme, like the styling, and pull those out into the frameworks that people use today so you can leverage them wherever you are with whatever framework you want to do.
Right. You know, providing a good default to use if you don't want to make the decisions, there it is for you. Actually, let's go back to the slides real quick. So Chris and I actually lucked out. We were able to go to a PhoneGap meetup.
That was great.
And how many people here have been playing around with Cordova on Windows 10? We've got one. Two.
Awesome. Well, there's another one all the way over there.
We just talked about it today, so I mean that's actually pretty good. So I thought, you know, Chris is doing all these demos with all these frameworks, and that he should probably go make a Cordova app.
Yeah, clearly.
What's one thing about HTML code? It's the portability.
Yes.
And it would be great if you copy all that code and make a Cordova app live.
We couldn't possibly do that.
I think we might want to try this.
Okay, I think we should. Awesome. So here we go. We'll go and do this last little bit here. So here I'm in my group. The main thing I'm going to do is I'm going to go bring up Cordova, and we need to create a new app, which we'll call it Char Map Night, since it's nighttime.
Sure.
It's evening. And I need to give it a name, so we'll call it com.example.chris.
I like
Chris.
That. Another name.
And you just, I like the name so much I want to say it multiple times on the command line.
You're good.
So go and create this. Cordova's going to create us a little scaffolding project. We'll go into this and we need to, we need to add a platform.
Don't forget to add the new platform.
Yeah. So we'll say Cordova platform.
Add.
Windows. And now the secret address.
https://aka.ms/
Nope. Cordova-win10.
Oh.
Oh, so we went to the wrong thing.
You went a little deep.
No, I just went to a completely
fixed.
Unrelated demo that I may not have done earlier today.
You weren't practicing that at all. No. This is all live. I put him on the spot.
So we go through. It's going to go suck down that new definition of the platform from the site, go plug it in, and so we now have our project. We need to do one other thing, which is we need to tell Cordova to configure to add the platform to it.
So we're going to edit the config file.
Config.xml. And here I'm going to use the new Visual Studio Code.
Because he has to use multiple editors, do multiple frameworks, and
multiple
apps. Yeah,
it's got to be everything. So we'll add a preference. Name equals Windows-platform-version, clearly. Value equals 1.0.
No, 10.0.
Oh, okay, we don't want to go back?
No, we want to keep going forward.
Okay, and then we'll do, because I love the phone also, we'll add a phone.
All right.
Save that.
I think we're in business.
Good to go. And there's one other thing we probably want to do. We want to take all that content that we've been playing with that we have just journeying on, and we're going to inject it right into this project.
Copy and paste.
And I love robots, so we're going to do a robot copy from charmap build into our dubdub root and just copy that in, and Cordova run Windows.
See how you did?
And let's see, I believe we have...
Don't worry about the warnings. Those probably go away at some point.
They let you know it worked. They tell you that something happened.
Sounds like I might have asked you to do too much.
You're killing me. I feel like that's an error that is because we typed this error, this line wrong. Oh, because it's not target, it's target version.
Oh, yes, I should have caught that. That was my fault, Chris.
I blame you entirely.
So let's go ahead. This should work. A little bit of magic.
Now I feel a little edgy whether or not it's going to work.
Warnings are still okay, though.
Yeah. Oh,
dun,
yes.
Ta-da!
So here we see that same app running as a Cordova app.
Hey, Chris, though, you built this from the command line. So what would you do to debug it?
Well, I would clearly install a dev tool.
I don't think you should. I think there's an easier way.
Okay.
I think you should hit F12.
That can't work.
Let's try it.
So even in a Cordova app, we're able to bring up all of the F12 dev tools that you're used to using. And so we can go in and inspect something, and we can say, hey, I love this guy. I want to go change some style, so we'll go make its background be, instead of black, we'll make it be red. Hey, look at that. They're not impressed.
That's pretty cool.
That's good. No, but wait, there's more.
I tried to avoid that.
I know, but no.
Wait, there's more. So Chris did that, and he's good at the live coding. I'm not so good at the live coding. You got the, go ahead and throw it. So I went ahead and I used a Mac and I made the same CharMap app on an iPhone because Cordova is a great cross-platform. Keep me honest, let's go check out, see that I still have the app working. Obviously, I'm probably gonna wanna do a little bit of
slight different
to my
UX.
UI and add some of the code that Chris was showing in his code pen to adjust to my phone size, but the app's there and it's working. All right. Well, thank you, guys. This is the demos we wanted to show today. If anyone has questions, we've got mics in the room. The wrap-up.
You've got a wrap-up. What are you, new? Come on.
Well, I mean, the main point we were trying to make is, look, we're trying to play well with a lot of other JavaScript frameworks, and we want our HTML controls to work for you guys, and we'd love to hear feedback on what you've seen here. If you go and play with the projects on GitHub, you know, send us pull requests, tell us what we've done wrong, tell us what we could have done better. We'd love to hear and listen. You know, as you saw in a lot of the talks today, Microsoft Edge is powering all of these web apps you've seen today on the Microsoft platforms, and we're always listening, lurking, and eager to talk. So please engage, and we'd love to hear more. Thanks, guys.
Any questions, please step up to the mics.
And then this is the code to scan. If you guys are doing the prizes, I didn't want you to miss out on that.